My dear fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, you know, we all know very well that there's two things you never talk about, religion, right, and politics. But now, if you have a little devil inside of you, and you like a little bit of controversy and argument, and you are with a bunch of Christians from, you know, across the, you know, Christian denominational lines, you want controversy. The number one subject to do that is none other than baptism. Baptism is the most hotly contested issue in the Christian church. I mean, you have some that believe that it's just a command. You have others that believe, well, it's just a confession of faith. You have others that say it gives absolutely nothing, that actually it was just a identifying who Jesus was. You have some that do not baptize at all, and on and on and on and on and on I can go. I have to just tell you a little story. God forgive me, but the little devil was inside of me one day during a Wellsville area ministerial association meeting, and I just happened to bring up that lovely subject of baptism. And of course we had the Episcopal, the Lutheran, and the Catholic, as well as non-denominational Baptist, etc., etc. Well, let me tell you, we argued, and we argued, and we argued for a good hour and a half. Did we resolve anything? No. But I had the greatest time in my life. I was smiling because it was so much fun, okay? Today we celebrate the baptism of our Lord. This is the day that we remember that at about age 30, Jesus came to the Jordan River. And he asked to be baptized by John the Baptist. And you may remember John the Baptist, he didn't want to do it. John the Baptist knew who Jesus was. He knew that Jesus was the Son of God. He was the promised Messiah. Even John the Baptist said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." So John didn't want to do it. Jesus gets into the water, and John says, "I should be baptized by you," not vice versa. Jesus says, "It must be done to fulfill all righteousness." And of course, John baptizes Jesus. Comes out of the water, Holy Spirit descends upon him, and a voice from heaven declares who Jesus is. That's what we're celebrating today. And you know, there's a lot of truths that are actually revealed through this. But I also believe that as we're called upon to remember Jesus' baptism, this gives us an opportunity to think about our baptism. What is it? What? Was there anything special about it? You know, as I said before, there are those who say, the only reason we baptize is because God commanded it. We are to obey Christ. He says, be baptized. And there is no doubt that that is a command, isn't it? The Great Commission, as he is ascending into heaven, he says to his disciples, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations." What? Baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. I think it's interesting that even Peter, on Pentecost, after he was finished preaching, and the people's hearts were cut by the Spirit, because they realized their sin, they cried out, "What can we do? What can we do?" And Peter said what? Repent and what? Be baptized. Mark 16:16. He who believes and is baptized. John 3. Be born again. One must be born of what? Water and the Spirit. So yes, we are to be commanded to be baptized. But I'm not a firm believer in this idea that God just commands us to do something just to do it, okay? There's a reason. The reason really isn't always for him. I think the reason is always for us. Now, some people will say, well, the reason for baptism is a confession of faith. And certainly, an individual who is being baptized in that baptism, by being baptized, is making a confession of faith, making the confession that I believe in God, I believe in Christ as my Savior. Even when we baptize infants, there's a confession of faith. Of course, a one-month-old baby, when I ask, do you believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, that one-month-old baby is not going to say, I do, okay? Of course not. The confession is made by the parents, by the godparents, and by the congregation on behalf of the baby. But then comes confirmation. You see, and what is confirmation but really the renewal of the baptism vows? Okay? Now, after our children have learned, now they on their own are stating that confession of faith that was made for them when they were baptized as infants. Or if you're an adult, that's a different story. You can do that on your own, I hope, you know. But that's how it works. So yes, it is a confession. Okay, that's one purpose. But is this all that there is to it? I say there's much more. I think that baptism is one of the greatest gifts that our Lord has given us. I don't know if you noticed or not, but when the gospel lesson was being read, Christ came out of the water. Spirit descended upon him. And then there's this voice from heaven. This is what Mark wrote. And a voice came from heaven, you are my son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased. You notice what the Father said. You are my son, whom I love. You know what? In our baptism, believe it or not, God the Father said, you are my son, you are my daughter. You are my son, and then put your own name there. You are my daughter, put your own name there. Whom I love, with you I am well pleased. God the Father through baptism is saying, you are mine. And the proof, actually, I find in Colossians chapter 2. Because you see, Paul likened baptism to circumcision. Now, we know that circumcision only took place with boys, okay? But the law said that a male child, 8 days after birth, was to be circumcised. Why? Because this was the way that God marked that child to be his. That child was one of his very own chosen people whom he dearly loved. So you see, baptism was like circumcision. God is declaring, you're mine! Think about that. You are mine. But how can this be? Well, here, I think, is where it really gets very interesting. And that was in our epistle lesson. I have to tell you that Paul was guilty of something. I'm going to use this word just to say that, see, you know, I'm educated, when in reality I'm not. But he was accused of antinomianism. Don't ask me really what that means. I have no idea. But it sounds antinomianism. Basically what it was Paul preached that forgiveness and salvation was a free gift won by Christ, okay? Well, he was accused then of saying, well, since it's a free gift, that means then you can do whatever you want. You're saved. You can sin, eat, drink, and be merry. Have fun. You're forgiven. By the way, I've been accused of that because I'm so heavy in preaching the gospel and I kind of forget the law. But what can I say? You know, but no, that wasn't what Paul was saying. Because you see, in chapter 6, in that lesson, he starts out by saying, what shall we say? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. So, you know, when God says, you are mine, I love you, that doesn't mean that we're free just to go out and do whatever we want to do. Okay? No. We're called for something. And listen to this. Do you not know that all of us who were baptized into Jesus' death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death. What did Christ do? What did he accomplish when he suffered and died upon the cross? What did he do? He defeated sin. Did he not? He paid the punishment of mankind's sins. He defeated sin. And he won forgiveness of sins for all people so that whoever believes can have the forgiveness of sins. So when Paul here is saying that we were baptized, we were buried into his death, what he is saying is that when we were baptized, the water, along with the word of God, okay, it washed us totally clean of all of our sin. All of our sin. Okay? Think about that. So now, you and I live as people who are forgiven. Past sins, present sins, and get a load of this one, future sins. All right? But we go on. See, because Paul then goes on and he says, we were therefore buried with him through baptism into death in order that just as Jesus was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. As Christ was raised from the dead in baptism, we have been raised to a new life. What's this new life? Well, you know, before we became God's people, we on our own, and I've said this 100 times, people don't believe me, but we do not want anything to do with the true God. We are totally, our minds, our hearts are totally against the true God. It's the way it is. All right? But you see, God works. He forgives. He reconciles. And he changes our lives. He raises us to a new life. Now we who were opposed to God, now because of his grace, love God. There's this new life. A new attitude. We're new creatures. In other words, now we want to be a people who want to follow our Lord. We are a people who are motivated, who really want to say and to do what our Lord wants us to do. We are a people who want to not only just love God, but love our neighbors in word and deed as an expression of our love to God. We're totally new people. Okay? You see, we're raised to this new life. A life now which we really strive to follow the law of God, the will of God. We don't do it because we have to. We don't have to do anything. Because you see, I can't earn anything from God. If we're trying to do something to earn something from God, guess a goodbye, it doesn't work. Because you and I can never be perfect enough. All right? But he does it. And now I want to do it. It's amazing when my wife tells me that I have to do something. That's my wife. Do I do it, honey? Not really. Well, if I do it, she hears about it, right? If she asks me to do something, because I want to do it, I do it, right, honey? Sometimes. Yeah, I better not press that way too much. One of our parishioners put it this way. Raleigh, this was yours. Suppose that your house is on fire. Your two children are caught in that house. You can't get in there to get them. A stranger just happens to run by, and as you're screaming and yelling, he or she realizes that your children are still there in that house. And that person literally goes in, risks his or her life, and brings both of your children out safely. Is there anything that you would not do for that individual because they saved your children? Of course not. You'd do anything out of gratitude. That's the same with us. Look what our Lord has done for us. He saved us. He went into the burning fire and he saved us. The burning fire of hell and has brought us out. Is there anything that we wouldn't want to do for him? One last thing, because I know I'm getting late. Baptism, people say, is a once-in-a-lifetime deal, which I guess you could say it is. However, how many of you take time to remember your baptism daily? You remember that you were baptized daily? I don't. Not at all. Did you know that chances are pretty good that our forefathers, our mothers, that when they got baptized, their baptism certificates were nailed right by their beds? Last thing they saw when they went to bed was, guess what? Their baptism certificate. Why? Because you see, that certificate reminded them that because they were baptized, they were a child of God, and that no matter what happened when they slept, even if they should die, hey, everything was going to be all right because they were in God's hands and they would have eternal life. And the very first thing they saw when they looked up in the morning was, guess what? That baptism certificate. And became a source of peace and hope for them because, you see, it reminded them, it's a new day. I have no idea what's going to happen. But it's all right. I'm baptized. I am a child of God. And therefore, my Lord is with me. And that even though I may sin, and even though I may commit really bad sins, my Lord is going to forgive me. He's not going to let me stray. He's going to bring me back. He is going to encourage me. He's going to lift me up. He is going to guide me. Okay? I'm not going to be in this life by myself. And above all, even if I should die, I will have eternal life. That's what baptism is about. It's a daily affair to remind us, I'm baptized. I belong to God. I belong to Christ. I have his gifts. I need never be afraid. Because I have forgiveness. I have life. I have salvation. Thank you, Lord, for this great gift of baptism. Amen.